I want to tell you about our trip on the way home because I'm going to call it a divine appointment. We were sitting in the Indianapolis airport and we got the news that our flight was delayed. And so we got out of there late, heading for Toronto for the flight home. And when we got to Toronto, time was very tight and we were really in a rush to. And we were the last on the aircraft and we got the two back seats, which is never the happiest place to be in a longish flight. But there we were, Mr. Roosman and I, sitting side by side in the back seat in the middle. And then one over from me was a young mother with a baby. And of course, that presents challenges on long flights as well. But then the one person beside me was a Muslim. And there were quite a number of these Muslim fellows who obviously knew each other. And as the Lord ordained it, he was right beside me on a 4.5-5 hour flight. And so for the first while, I didn't really pay a lot of attention or say too much, but I noticed he was sitting there reading the Quran, and he was reading it in Arabic. So you know that you've got someone who is very devout and very deep into their religion. And as I said, we didn't say very much. And then he got up and he came back and he came with this plate of food and he offered it to me. Now, it wasn't aircraft-provided food. It was his own kind of food. And I asked, well, is this cultural? Is this religious? Or what is it? No, it's just Indian food. So it was rice and chicken and all kinds of things. And so I said, sure, that's great. Because we hadn't a minute to pick up anything on the way through Toronto Airport. So there I was sitting, his rice, his chicken, and the conversation started. And so my question to him was, you're reading the Quran. What does the Quran say about the prophet Jesus? Now, I knew enough to ask that question because Muslims believe in the prophets of the Old Testament and the Lord Jesus. So I wanted him to explain to me, oh, he's a true prophet. He's a good prophet, the prophet Jesus. And so we went down that line for a while. And I said, so everything that Jesus said, you accept and you believe. And you believe that he is the Son of God. And then, oh no, God had no son. And the conversation went from there to, well, I asked him, did Jesus die on the cross? And he said, no. Well, that's strange because he's a prophet, a true prophet. And so much of his life was telling and forecasting that he would suffer in Jerusalem at the hands of the wicked, die, rise again from the dead to be the savior of his people. And you're saying he didn't actually die on the cross. Well, what happened? Well, someone else stepped in his place. And so then I wanted to get to the point where Christ died as a sacrifice. And I asked him, now you have sacrifices in your religion. You actually take lambs and animals and slay them as sacrifices in your religion. What is that for? And then he said, well, that's to imitate Abraham, because Abraham took Isaac up the mount, and of course he didn't eventually slay Isaac, but he slew the ram in the place of Isaac, and we do what Isaac did. And then I said, do you know anything about Bible typology? No. In fact, I discovered he didn't really know the Bible very well. He knew certain key people, see key things. But he didn't know Isaiah 53, where it foretold that Christ would be rejected and that by his wounds and his stripes, we would be healed. And so I began to tell him, did you know that Abraham and Isaac is really a picture in advance of a later event of what God would do with his son and how Christ became a sacrifice to die in our place as a substitute? No. I believe Quran. And it always came back to the Quran. And I kept pointing out the problem. You have a problem. You say that Jesus is a true prophet. He said that he would die and suffer for his people, that he would rise again and one day return, and you say that's not in the Quran. So there's a problem. And also, you understand that the Christian Bible was finished in the first century. Your Quran was not completed until the 7th century, 600 and something. So therefore, if there's a difference or a disagreement, then you obviously have a problem. Now, there was all kinds of to and fro, and I'm not going to go any further, but it was a tremendous opportunity to witness. One that I didn't really push, one that I didn't really seek, but the Lord certainly had a divine appointment for us right there on that trip home. And then I asked later, well, you know, why are you coming to Vancouver? He lived in Toronto. He's coming to Vancouver. He is coming to a mosque, and there were some special events on there. And so, but the one thing I would say is the devout loyalty to the Quran is phenomenal. Absolute point blank loyalty to the Quran. Now, the difficulty is they just memorize it by rote and they don't really think through, does it fit the world picture? If it's in the Quran, that's it. That's it. And so this is the task and the challenge of witnessing to Muslims. But we trust the Lord may have mercy and be gracious to that young man. One of the reasons he gave me his food, he says, because I'm his elder. And I said, are you sure? And he said, well, I'm 35. And we didn't go to what my age was, but it was quite obvious. So that's one reason why I got the food. I'm sure if my wife had been there, she would have said, don't touch that food. You don't know what's in it. And I took a risk, but no problems. I was still hungry when I got home. So thankful for the Lord feeding me in a strange way on that trip home. Mr. Ruzma, he got nothing. No food, no rice, nothing. He had to depend on some bars that we had with us instead of that.